Welcome back to It's All Bad. I'm Keith. I'm here with Rush and Danny.
Yep.
And Charlie. And Papa Bear's not here today.
Where is Papa Bear?
Crane Island.
Oh.
Island life. Fishing. They probably are fishing. Yeah. Do they?
I think so. Yeah.
That's wild. It's pretty rare. But you have to like fly in there. Am I right, Charlie? Something crazy like fly to Seattle, take a ferry over to some island, and take a boat over to Crane Island or something.
No way.
Yeah, something like that.
That sounds rad.
How was your week?
Dude, it's chill. Work's going all right.
Yeah.
I got a weird, I'm making my debut, my acting debut tomorrow.
You are?
Yeah.
Where?
Gilbert's directing a music video and Jackie's working on it. Little Andy's Jackie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she hit, like, I was just shooting the shit with her yesterday and she's like, dude, what are you doing Friday? I'm like, I don't know, fucking work. She's like, can you get, you know, she's like, send me some photos. We need a, you know, a lead actor for this music video for like this chick that's, I guess, kind of big, you know, like I don't fucking know her.
Yeah.
Shit, you know, but yeah, she's like, send me some photos. We'll send it over to the producers. Like Gilbert said, you'd be great for it. So I'm like, all right, fucking. And I sent it and she was like, wait, there's one more that you had on your Raya profile. Like, that's the one we need.
Shut up.
But no, it's me wearing the IKEA bucket hat outside of IKEA. And I was like, oh, that's dude, that's the moneymaker right there.
Yeah.
I sent it to her. And yeah, so tomorrow
dude,
is my debut as an actor.
That's going to be great.
Yeah. How about your week?
Mine was interesting. Somebody found me on 23andMe and said the DNA says we're half brothers. And it turns out my dad's not who I thought it was. And
wow.
I have a bunch of siblings, so I'm going to go meet them at the end of the month.
That's fucking crazy.
It's fucking wild.
Yeah. Isn't it insane that we live in a time where like that, these resources are vague, you know? Because before, yeah. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, it's wild. I was telling somebody the other day about how at the needle exchange, how you guys have those things where you can test your drugs, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, all of it. It's like fucking Star Trek now, you know? You can do everything.
Yeah.
So this week, we have a few new guests, Annie and Joey.
Man, they're fucking so good.
Yeah,
they're
great.
They're so good.
We talk about the evils of meth.
We find out what a drildo is.
Yeah. I'm not sure I really needed to know.
Yeah, but me either.
Charlie was asking, so I'm glad somebody had a solution.
It reminded me of the one time when we found out what was it called? The thing Reno told us about.
Oh, Liberator.
The Liberator, yeah.
You know what I mean? We should get him back on.
Yeah.
It's like a triangle shaped pillow for like sex things. But he said it to us like we would all know. He goes, you know, when you get your crank, you got to go to the sex shop and get the Liberator. You know what I mean? And all of us are like, no. What's a Liberator? We also talk about the numbers of days stayed up. I used to have somebody I knew had a thing, or if they stayed up 5 days, they'd be like, Yahtzee.
I think the one dude that I've seen stay up the longest was Hans. Because he never did it. Like, he was just like a strict meth guy. He never touched any other drug, you know?
Oh,
like,
really?
Nothing else. Yeah, straight meth. And he smoked Sherm. Like, those were his two
Jesus
things, you know?
Christ, yeah.
Like and, the two worst. And he would go down, you know, and we'd be up for like, you know, he'd be running around doing his thing. And then he would like come and pass out. And we'd be in a room and like, or like an Airbnb or something. And it would be checkout time. And like, there's no way to fucking get this motherfucker up. Like, I would care. Like, it would be like two of us carrying him out, you know? Like, people are looking at us like
just
we're fucking
dead weight.
Yeah, like we're fucking carrying out a body. And one day it was like time to go and I couldn't figure out like how to get him up, and I put on Gigi Allen, and this motherfucker snaps out of it immediately. He's like, oh, what's up? You know, like immediately back.
No way.
So from that point forward, it didn't matter how hard he went down. I threw on fucking Gigi Allen and he would come snap right out of it. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm so glad we're sober. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's what gets you.
Like Gigi Allen's the thing that brings you to life. That's bad news.
Yeah, you're fucked. We find out about what hot rails are. Well, we knew what fucking hot rails are, but
yeah, Mike didn't.
Yeah, Mike did not.
We get to hear Mike feel left out.
Yeah, FOMO, hot like, rail FOMO.
Got shorthanded. Got shorted.
I mean, he kind of did. You know, he kind of fucking did. Sorry, Mike. Yeah. Also, Annie Hardy has a show tonight. I threw her last name in there. I don't think she won. Yeah, she don't give a fuck. Yeah.
Annie Hardy. You're talking about her show. I don't think.
Annie Hardy has a show tonight, Monday. What the fuck? It's going to be Monday the 12th at Zebulon. I don't know what time, but she's fucking rad. And if you're listening to this, come support Annie Hardy.
Yeah, go see Annie. She's great. She's always funny.
She's great. I think I'll be there. I think I'm going to come to the show.
Of course.
I've never been to Zebulon.
I've never even heard of Zebulon.
Where you're not missing. It's somewhere in Atwater. Yeah. Huh. Frogtown. You've been?
Yeah.
It's like the hip. It's the fucking, you know. Yeah.
Oh, it's next to Salazar? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's it. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Mike, that was like, well, let's get some bleeping.
Joey, I'm not like, going to limit what I talk about. Okay. Joey sent me a text beforehand telling me four distinct things I'm not allowed to discuss.
Joey did?
Yes.
I just don't, you know.
He didn't say not to say that he sent the text, though, so I'm sorry.
You are hilarious. Yeah, you know.
Just fucking savage.
You know,
regard past me pre, you know, AA as being the same person, that's the same indwelling spirit, because I was sharing this vessel with, like, you know, other spirits for sure. So it's like, I don't even look back on that stuff as being you either, because you were definitely a demon back then.
Yeah, I was pretty flagrant with the drug use for sure.
Yeah.
A flagrant drug addict.
I didn't know that those kind of drug addicts existed out in the world until I met Joey and Robert, and I was like, oh shit, this shit is dark. Like, this is crazy. How is this fun? Like, why do these kind of guys even want to do drugs? They're just like self-destructive in a blackout all the time.
Man, I think, yeah, I was for sure like a Xanimal and terrible with the speed and the black and everything. But that's part of what, you know, me and Caddy kind of had a bond over that. Like, we like really let that stuff in. We would be mobbing around in July listening to a Halloween CD. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With like the theme of Freddy Krueger or like
horror music.
You know, and we're just lurking, driving around here like witches cackle, like and then there was the one with the creaking door that was like
you guys would drive around loaded listening to that.
Yeah, dude, just like really just, you know, letting the evil take over you, because I think you've mentioned something about like the, you know, the correlation with the speed and the evil shit.
That's,
you know,
the devil's drug.
It's it brings you to
Satan.
That realm. I think it's like, you know,
it brings you to that realm. For me, I was brought like, I was just like, I was seventh dimensional, just like angels, magic. And then like you and Robert came along and like, you know, one hit and he's seeing a Frankenstein in the kitchen. And I was like, oh my God, this is not my dimension. I'm not in the lower fourth dimension. This is dark shit.
That day four realm or whatever.
Well, even when I met you guys were sober, and I met him and Robert, aka Cadillac Ron, at Fred 62 one night.
That night, I remember meeting you, and when you guys met, you were pretty spun out, and had meth bag. You guys know what's up with meth bag when someone's really on one, and they got a bag of different chargers and a hot glue gun and and whatever other
Dremel,
you know,
portable Dremel.
Yeah, brass door knocker. Pete Rose rookie card.
Their neighbor's mail. You know what I mean? And they're just searching
the collector.
Through it. You know?
Yeah. Yes.
And they have to, you know, just go through it and constantly or whatever. And
it's a bag of hypervigilant crafting supplies, because you never know when you need to throw down out of the house. That was my thing.
That was a trip too, where it was like, you know, eventually, you know, we were getting loaded and I'd go over there and like, I'm used to like, you know, you smoke shit and then you know you get into some crime or some shit, right? And I, like, basically, I don't know how else to put it, you know, you get into some shit, and then I go over there and it was like there wasn't really crime popping off, but it was like the best arts and crafts table ever. And
we're
like,
at Annie's house?
Come, take a seat. Don't know. We don't need to go on any missions or anything. take these beads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here's a hot
glue
gun.
Here, there's, like, I have this theory. Nice, there's four different meth-like archetypes, right? So you take the hit off the meth bong or whatever, and you're going to major in one of these and minor in another. The first one, as Joey mentioned, is crime.
Right.
Yeah.
Not my experience. The second one is creativity, which was my major. You're, mm-hmm. you create something out of, you know, they're
obviously
they don't need to be created like as you know, the things that you're making, but you still do it with great focus.
Fervor.
Mike's and then done that. The sexual deviancy.
I have a file of facts that you should really take a look at.
Sexual deviancy was my minor.
Nice.
And then the fourth category is just completely insane.
Yeah.
So I think Joey and Robert both majored in crime and minored in completely insane.
You know what? That's actually a very fair assessment. I was talking about that on this one. No, but you're right. Because I was always like, you know, like there's people into cleaning houses or mm-hmm. doing crafts and yeah. shit. I'm like you. You know what I mean? Like I am like, you know, like. I'm
absolutely.
Like, and I will do anything against the law.
Absolutely. Like, it's unnecessary.
Like, yeah. Even,
you know, I could have a pocket full of cash and it's just like, let's go ride on a motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or whatever.
That's how I am
like,
too.
I don't know.
I could have $1 million if you dropped back then.
It's really illusions of grandiosity too, though.
Yeah. Because,
you know, in my head, I'm a bad motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then really it's like, I'm, you know, wearing a velour sweatsuit with like some fucking, you know, pearls that I stole from some girl's bedroom or some shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got like some, like, you know that, that's what I like. Some like, if you've ever noticed with speed, it's like, you know, when you're getting dressed in the morning or something and you see your shoes and you're like, yeah, these shoes don't really, that's kind of funky. Like, I'm gonna put something else on. It's like the opposite, at least for me, when I'm on one where it's like, that looks fun. Oh, hell yeah. You know yeah. what I mean? Where it's like, the funkier the better. And I end up, you know, looking like a goddamn pirate. You know yeah. what I mean? And it is kind of like pirate style. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm rolling with a backpack that yeah. I could open a woman's thrift store with. You know what I mean? From you know, pillaging, you know, different, you know, girlfriends, fucking
pads
and shit like that. You know what I mean? Costume jewelry. Like
all yeah. I like to wear a tutu with a tool belt over it.
No way.
Yeah, a non-operational tool belt because it was from the dollar store, which yeah. I think the tutu was also, but yeah. that was my look for like the first year, because when your first year doing meth, you're just in a meth psychosis the yeah. whole time, and you're so insane that you don't know you're crazy,
yeah,
which is a sign of a true insane person. And then, you know, you start to realize, oh my god, I'm not wearing any pants, like, you know, this is why they're all looking at me like this. They think that I'm a homeless person about to rob them.
I had a thing, I shouldn't even be admitting this, but we were in San Dimas at this house or whatever, and we're on one. It was really hot, you know, really hot. Plus, you're on
speed. It's always hot when you're yeah. like just pouring sweat. You
yeah.
know?
And, dude, I'm like, you know, because I just wear, yeah, probably the same standard thing you guys wore. I'd be wearing fucking like Dickies yeah. and fucking, you know, wife beaters
yeah.
and shit. And I don't know what happened. I mean, I was going to a lot of yard sales, so I'm assuming I found these at a yard sale, but I was just sweating all the time. And I'd buy that green, that spearmint alcohol at the
mouthwash?
No.
Oh.
Like the spearmint. Alcohol. It's like a green rubbing alcohol. And the first time I bought it was at that.
But the winter green, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the winter green. Yeah.
You like clean your bong with
but
it.
But the first time
yes.
I.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what's
up. I have done that.
Yeah. The first time
it,
I bought it.
It lingers. It was, is a linger.
At that Kmart on Fairfax and, you know, by the Grove in 1991 or something. I saw it and I was like, ooh, shit. Cause I would buy it. Cause I would buy that and those cotton swabs and just clean my skin. You know what I mean? Like, cause I, you know, like, you know, you're all sweaty and gummy and shit,
that
but
film, that's also, that I gotta say, acid film that you get from yeah. doing meth.
But also, not to interject, but it's also like you're doing meth in Los Angeles. So yeah. kind of, it's halfway reasonable. Like by yeah. the end of a normal day when I've had a coffee and I go home,
yeah.
my head is sort of dirty and needs, it's a filthy place. The yeah. air is filthy. So then you wind up, but yeah, you wind
but
up.
But the meth is cleaner than anywhere else. We've got the most fire meth. Yeah. That, like, you can't go to Indiana and get like decent shards.
I don't know. I think things have changed as late. I don't know. It's been a while since I've like, you know, been involved, but from what, you know, I know that, like, you know, for $100, you could fucking supply, like, you know, all of Fifth and whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
so cheap.
That's
so
why
cheap
I don't understand.
Crystal meth is so cheap.
Absolutely.
So,
Well, it's
really
always the cheaper alternative to doing cocaine, which people seem so into, like, if they're fancy, yes. I thought. Because why do people become prostitutes for, like you know, meth? It's like
because meth has a much stronger sexual component than coke, for sure, right? Like coke eventually will shut the party down for you.
So will
you
meth.
You know, it's some, I mean, it will. Yeah.
Especially if you're a chronic masturbator jerking off. Like, because the sexual deviance, there's some people who will post up. My friend had a guy post up on his computer in his house and jerk off for 6 days straight until the chair broke. And then robbed him and left.
Whoa.
Like 6 days straight of masturbation. And I've talked to Lawrence extensively about this because I like don't understand why you do it for so long. And it's because you can't, I guess, ejaculate.
Yeah.
And he said when he finally does, it's so intense that he just then he falls asleep for like 4 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sounds great.
Lawrence said that?
Yeah.
Let's get Lawrence on.
I'm sorry to interject again. That doesn't sound great.
It sounds like a waste of time.
That's crazy. 6 days.
My
they call him Chap.
There's a guy who they couldn't get a hold of him or whatever, and his friends went into his pad, and he was just fucking out, and he had like this rig of I think it was a drill. Yeah, drill dough. But he had it mounted, you know, and he was on his chest, and the thing was just like...
Oh, my
God. And he was asleep, and it was just reaming him out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's very graphic.
Yeah.
How did I just know that it was a drill dough?
Yeah.
You just said a drill, and I said a drill dough?
We're at some sort of a convention.
He's like, yeah, so I went to Home Depot, and he's like, drill dough.
Yeah, so the other day I had to put up a pic. You mean with the drill dough?
Well, my friends, have you ever heard of the band Shat? As in the past tense of shit.
I think I have.
No.
They are a great band. They have hits such as, oh, fuck, I stepped in shit, kill baby, the abortion anthem. They're from New Jersey, and they wear all, like, dildo costumes on stage, and they were the inventors of the drill dough, and so that's how I heard about it.
Oh, really?
And they used to use the drill dough on a friend of mine on the tour bus.
How do you track the invention of the drill dough?
I'm just going to give it to Jeff Wood from
Shat. There's so many people who aren't going to admit it.
Jeff Wood was actually, the lead singer was shot in the head on accident while he was driving a tour van in downtown LA. There was a rooftop shooter, shot him in the top of the head, a stray bullet, and he had to relearn to walk, tie his shoes, everything. And then the music he made after that is Shat. It's all about fucking or like piss and
like
shit.
Like G.G. Allin type shit?
Yeah, but funnier. Much funnier, I think. It's pretty good. Check it out. Shat.
Quick Shat plug, you know?
Exactly.
For a quick plug.
Yeah. That's good. I will check that out.
Oh, fucking helicopter.
Remember when you'd be on meth and the helicopters come and you're like, oh my God, they're monitoring me because I'm making Orgonite or whatever. I've never been a paranoid person like a friend of ours who we just mentioned who thinks he's about to get arrested every time he does meth. And I told him, like, you can't get arrested for jacking off on meth. It's not against the law.
Yeah.
Like, being on meth isn't illegal. It's traveling with it or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like I shouldn't have told him that because now he's out there
and
doing
that
it again.
Even these days, it's pretty decriminalized. Using it. I mean, I was on La Brea and Sunset the other day. I looked to the right and there's a homeboy right there.
Spinning one.
Twirling it, you know? And I was like, huh. Like, you know, you don't even really have to hide out to do dope no more.
This Glendale cop, we were shooting in Glendale. This Glendale cop told me he doesn't even take people in for it anymore for possession shit. He said it's not worth his time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's also Babylon. Nice. We're in Babylon.
Yeah.
Everything's crazy now.
You get a ton of speed off just one SSI check. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you really can party off of, like, you know, that
Joey,
one.
Joey.
But I mean, I do think, like, right? Like, that is true. And we have a crazy
homeless problem.
Like, it's fucking crazy. And you know that, like, most people who are on the street are not, like, there is no reason to be angry at those people.
Yeah.
They are fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And they've either been turned away from fucking the healthcare system because of whatever. They get caught up at, I mean, whatever. That's, like, to describe how that can happen myriad of ways is boring. But, you know, it's next fucking level right now in LA. Like, it is Night of the Living Fucking Dead
out
there.
It's that movie, They Live. Idiocracy meets the Matrix. It's craziness.
And And well, anyway,
I was driving under the Figueroa under the 134. You know, and they're camped out everywhere under the overpasses. I meant to take a picture of it. I'll do it on the way home. But I just saw a tag like above one of the tents in black in like 6-inch letters, and it just said "fuck sleep."
Yeah,
yeah. I'm that's about profound, that. Man.
Yeah,
that's when Freddy Krueger comes. So yeah. Yeah.
What's the longest you ever stayed up, Joey?
You know, you hear a lot of people that will say, "Oh, I was up for 2 weeks. I was up for fucking 15, 16 days." Yeah. For me, physically, I think my body could around day four, ending of day four, like I just, you know, I can't go anymore. In fact, there was a time I shut, like me and the person, the chick I was partying with, we shut down at the same time. And I just, I guess, parked my car right in the middle of the, or it wasn't my car, it was her car. But, you know, I parked that shit right in the middle of Woodley on the valley. And then I guess we both just crashed just from pure, you know, exhaustion, and just woke up to like some really mean firefighters. You know what I mean? Like they weren't cops, but they were like mean firefighters, you know what I mean? Like I remember just like
and they're usually nice.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, and I just remember that they found this giant fucking like meth bong, crack meth bong thing, and then smashed it, and it was just, it's hectic. Yeah, 4 days. What about you?
I would stay awake 3 days. I would try to, I'm like, you know, like if I could stay awake 3 weeks, I would. But,
yeah,
you know, I only snorted it and I did hot rails and I'd eat it.
Oh, I loved hot rails.
I did too. I had a thing where.
What's a hot rail?
Dude.
How do I not know what a hot rail is?
Oh, my God.
I get sleepy.
You never lived. You've done a hot rail or blown huge hit on a guy's dick.
What?
Well, I guess you guys wouldn't know about
Say
that.
Say it again?
Blown a huge hit of crystal meth on a guy's penis when you're having sexual intercourse?
Yeah.
Joey, somebody surely done that to you.
I can't confirm or deny that.
How'd I miss that too? What? Hot rail. What's a hot rail?
Here's what a hot rail is. A hot rail is like basically it's a glass tube, you know, like a fucking
crack
test
pipe.
Tube. Yeah, like a crack
mm-hmm,
pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing them, you know, you couldn't just buy the glass straws. You know, you had to like get a fucking tube and like heat it and fucking blow
the one with the little rose in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
love
of course.
Roses.
My love. I knew I was like, I knew very quickly when I saw that for the first time. I was like, there's no love there.
But you heat it up.
Lust.
You
only.
Heat it up with a torch, right? Until it's like orange hot.
Yeah.
The weirder thing is if it gets too hot, the shit sticks to it when you snort it. But you know, if you get it to the right heat and then you snort it and it evaporates on the way up. So you snort the line, it doesn't burn or anything.
Up speed.
Yeah, it turns into gas and then you exhale a big hit of it.
Shut up.
But
like the biggest hit you have ever fucking exhaled.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like ever.
I'm so glad I didn't know that when I was in my prime.
I remember like fucking, you know, because like you're doing a little bump or like a line, you know, it's not that much fucking meth that you're inhaling. But then you fucking exhale and I just remember being like, holy shit, I'm a fucking dragon, you know? Because it's this ginormous fucking cloud.
Yeah, it's
like you can hotbox a fucking room with one fucking good hit.
Yeah. It's
shit.
I had a thing. So when that first started in the early 90s, like I got out of prison or something and people are doing hot rail. Because I didn't ever want to smoke it because I thought like I was staying a step ahead of everyone, you know? But I also didn't know that the highs were different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Completely different.
Yeah. I didn't know that at all. I just always thought that people were smoking because they'd smoke it constantly. And I'm like, fuck, man, you're never going to make any money doing that, you know? But so I got out and I'm like Annie. Well, I probably didn't accomplish as many crafts because I wasn't a dude who was like, I'm going to fix this TV. That's not, I knew better than that. But I did like, I'd go to people's houses, like people are going to buy dope for me. And they'd be like, hey, what's up? They're all fucking like, you know, excited and shit. And I'd be like, where's your junk drawer? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, where's your junk drawer?
Absolutely.
And I just start fucking digging through there and finding all, you know, old pocket knives and shit or whatever. I'm like, what do you want for this? What do you want for this? And one thing I found was, you know, like when you have like a bottle in a bar, like a Jack Daniels bottle. And once in a while, there's like special edition shit and it'll have a different, like some trick to it. You know, it's a funny shaped bottle. This was a bottle of Crown Royal that had the pourer on top was a crown, the Crown Royal crown. And it had little lights on it where the stones would have been. And when you moved it.
Someone liked a shiny thing, didn't he? I know.
So this thing, I saw it and I was like, fuck, this is too good to be true. Because I just got onto hot rails.
And this thing, it's a crown. It's probably the size of a, it's a little bit bigger than a golf ball. But whenever you turn it, it the lights start lighting up like a Christmas tree. Just oh, that's blazing a, everywhere, that's right? Rad. So I got it and I'm like, what do you want for this? And the dude's like, what? I'm like, what do you want for this? He's, you know, it's like fucking
trash, basically.
Yeah, so I give him like a couple of, yeah. I give him like a couple of rails for it. What would you like for this
piece of garbage?
And then I take it. No. Now I've got it, of course, now I go into Annie's mode and I've got to mount this glass straw to the bottom of it, you know, where it entered the bottle, which I accomplished. And then, so you would snort through, you know, the little bent straw that you pour whiskey with. That's where your nose would be. But I just thought that was so fucking rad, so I'd be doing hot rails. But, like, you'd heat the thing up, and it's normal. You put it in your nose, and it just starts fucking lighting people.
Straight up
disco. Straight up disco hot
rails. Yeah. And I remember this biker friend of mine, Rock, he's like, man, what the fuck is this? You know, and I'm like, dude, it's cool. He's like, fuck. He was so bummed. And he'd do it, and fucking I'd see lights on his face, and I loved it.
What's your sign, Keith?
Capricorn.
Oh, what about you?
Libra Scorpio.
Cancer.
Gemini,
like me. You?
Taurus.
Taurus.
I only know that it's a double whammy because someone told me that.
Oh, because you're on the cusp?
That's what they said.
I feel like your sign minorly affects the way that you use drugs.
The longest I've ever been up is, well, okay, three and a half days, except one time I was up like 8 days because it was like this,
for sure,
a different guy was making it. It's also the only, I talked about it before on the show, but like it's the only speed that's ever made me like peek out windows. I'm not that dude. I'm like you are.
Yeah, totally.
I'm not paranoid. I'm not tripping. I want to get out of the fucking house.
Yeah, I'm not paranoid enough.
Yeah. Some
healthy paranoia, yeah, you know, when yes, you're conducting yourself in that
what
way.
What about you, Danny? How long have you been up once?
Long as, well, I just, wait, so you started talking about it and I just texted my ex-fiance and I was like, yo, what was the longest that we stayed up? She goes, 6 or 7. She goes, for sure, 5 days, you know? But there was always like, I feel like it might have been longer periods, but there would, for me, it would always be like, I would just take like these naps, you know? Like I would, like one time I was like I'd be going somewhere, you know? And like you have a little downtime. I'd be waiting for the bus, you know? And like, let's say I'm on Hollywood and Highland. I get there around 2 a.m. and I'm like, oh, there's a bus. I need to catch it. I've been up for 4 days at this point, 3.5 days. And I have enough meth in me to keep me awake, but only as long as I'm doing something, you know? Yeah. So I'm standing there waiting for the bus and my fucking chin hits my fucking chest as I'm standing there and like, and I would just hear, you hear the of the bus passing you. I'm like, oh fuck, there goes another bus. You know what I'm saying? And then next thing I know, and I'm like, motherfucker, you know? So I'm like, all right, you gotta fucking concentrate. And I'm on Hollywood and Highland, so I can't get higher there, you know? I'm like, fuck, all right, focus. Focus, you gotta catch the next bus. Like, I had somewhere to, you know, I got big plans. You got somewhere to be.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there, and I would keep checking for the bus, and I see it coming, and I was like, here we go. Next thing you know, fucking, the bus passed me again, and I'm like, fuck. And then at some point, I just remember, like, looking up and being like, wait, there's a lot of people on the street and it's fucking light out. So I've been there for like, I don't know how many hours. I never sat down. I'm saying, like, a cop came up to me at one point. He's like, hey, you all right? And I was like, yeah, motherfucker, you all right? Like, what are you doing talking to me? And I'm literally standing there sleeping, standing up on a fucking corner. So I don't know. I don't know if you consider that downtime or like, you know, or like a hiatus.
That's from sleep. Your,
yeah, that's technically sleep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I couldn't take disco naps. I had friends who could. But like when I'm out, I'm like fucking King Tut. Like I'm gonna be down for like 20 hours.
Yeah, after yeah, you can't wait.
You gotta play possum. You know what I mean? You gotta just lay there and rest your body. Yeah. Even if your mind's going, you know what I mean? And it's the same with food. You know, I'd be at like, you know, some sketch house in Arlita or something, and we'd all sit down and eat, you know, Kraft macaroni and cut up hot dogs and just, you know, like it was difficult to do, but it was like understood amongst us that.
Well,
like,
it was difficult for you because you're like the funky chicken guy who can't stop dancing. I've seen you.
Flagrant.
But I've also been there where you start to fall asleep and then you jerk yourself awake and you're like, and you're speaking like madness.
Yeah, it's coming out like
the demon is in.
Because, you know, I'd be up for, you know, 3 to 4 days and I'd convince myself that, like, you know, just a copious amount of benzos, you know, Xanax, it would fix the situation. And then really it would just cause me to completely black out and like keep going like past that threshold and to the point of I ended up in a psych ward, dude, you know, like it got pretty ugly, you know what I mean? And the the story about me getting to the psych ward is like, I don't know, you know, my friends would kind of shuffle me around, you know what I mean? From one friend to the other friend, like, hey, Joe's on a hot one, hey, here, you take him, blah, 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 right? And somehow, you know, I ended up like in some alley off Roscoe Boulevard. I was supposed to check in, I guess, the Motel 6 or something like that, but I just ended up in the alley on Roscoe Boulevard. And, you know, I had one Cortez on and, you know, my fucking straight up my pirate outfit, you know what I mean? Jangly earring and a headband and like whatever. And, you know, word on the street is I was really, really tripping, you know, so it got around. And not only my ex-girlfriend at the time and my buddy, who's kind of a J-Cat himself. So maybe that's how he knew the lowdown on where to take me. You know what I mean? Yeah. And my mother come.
Oh, no.
Right. And they're like, come with us. And I'm like, or whatever, you know, just completely incoherent, you know. And then they convinced my mom, goes, look, dude, we're going to get more scripts for some more bars. We're going to the doctor. It's like
she knows you well.
And I said, what? Oh, okay. You know, like, I said, we're going to go get more scripts. All right, mom, let's roll.
That's
you
know how what he I mean? Talks when he's on drugs.
So,
exactly.
You know, I end up, we weren't going to the sketchy doctor. We were going to like Mission Hills fucking psychiatric or whatever, you know. And I wasn't trying to kill myself or kill someone else, but for some reason, like they managed to get me in there. And I just remember, like, it was a pretty terrifying experience, you know. Like I remember there was like this one room that they took all the furniture out and had all the lights on full blast at all hours, and there's this girl, woman, I guess, named Dorothy, you know what I mean? And she would like sounded like a little girl, like some shit out of a horror movie, you know what I mean? And then you'd hear like and they'd be like, Dorothy, no, what the fuck? And then you just hear like chaos, you know? And like, I remember peeking in there and it seemed like, you know, The Exorcist when she's crawling on the roof and backwards. She was kind of doing like a crab maneuver, like around the walls like that. Not like on the roof and shit, but she's just like, you know, on the perimeter doing the crab. Like, it was a dark spot, you know? And I remember like, people trying to like make friends in there too, you know? Like, I'd be sitting in and they'd be like, oh, and then chop it up and it's like, oh, you do dope. Oh, cool. You should come hang out, man. We should hang out, you know? And I realized that, you know, I knew even then, like, that's not the place to really, like, make friends. You know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily know if I want to go hang out with you after this ordeal is over, but it was a shitty time, you know? One cigarette break a day, and then everyone's just like zombies in front of the whatever, the med
thing.
And
what room was she in? What room? So you went in, you saw, you looked into a room, and there was someone in there who was doing a crab walk, basically.
Pretty much.
And they were talking, and they were calling her Dorothy.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus
and
H.
it was,
Christ.
It was like, you know, it's just one big glass dome where there's like the techs and the nurses.
Yeah.
And then there's the rooms on the perimeter, you know what I mean? And most people are just zombies in front of the glass waiting for their Ativan or like whatever they can manage. And, you know, they had that room specifically for Dorothy, and it, I mean, it was a little disturbing, but you know.
Yeah, no, I had a pal when I was much, much younger, before I came out to LA, actually, who went in inpatient, you know, because he was just got to him, and I think he was going in with a full suitcase, you know, and then the baggage handlers were rough. Let's just say that he got a little into the crack in college, and I was just like, ooh, that seems like a really bad idea. He's like, want to try that? I'm like, nah, I don't think I do. And at this moment, but I'll get back to you. And I wound up going seeing him, and you know, like it's intense, the amount of like structure. It doesn't seem like it seems like it's something they're still trying to work out on how to get right.
Oh, I don't think they're trying to get anyone right in
there.
Yeah,
probably,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Well, there's this article called What a Shaman Sees When They Walk Into a Mental Hospital. Yeah. And a lot of these people, barring people like your friend who have just let the demons in and now like they might not come back out again, a lot of people are birthing the inner healer, and they're like, if this was any other society, like in Africa, the whole village gathers around these people, because they know that they're channeling in some shit from spirit and they want to hear what they have to say. Out here, we call them sick. We throw them in the fucking loony bin, and they're human trash.
Right.
But in Africa, they're like, you know, exalted, and they actually end up getting better, what we call schizophrenia, you know, because I truly believe that's a spiritual malady, if you will. Like, those people are special. They have like a little bit something extra going on. But if you, whatever you view it as, if you're like, I'm ill, I've dated a lot of schizophrenic guys, unfortunately, so I've done my field research, and like,
oh really?
Yes. You know, just like women, crazy people are good in bed.
I'm trying to remember what year this was. It must have been like 1993, and I'd had a friend when I was 18 or 19 who I was just kind of worried about her. You know, I mean, I was on a, you know, I mean, I'm running. I'm like fucking loaded and dealing and shit. But I was like, I got to see how Tracy's doing. She was a good friend of mine. I hadn't seen her in a few, you know, it was before cell phones or any of that shit. And I'm like, I got to find her. And I ran into this couple. They were on beach cruisers, shocker. And I saw this girl, Viviana. I'm like, yo, I'm like, do you know how to get hold of Tracy? And she's like, oh, I've seen her. And I go, I'll give you an eight ball if you can find Tracy for me. You know what I mean? Get me in contact with her. So next thing, she goes, oh, hey, she's here, blah, blah. But, you know, like, you know, when you're doing speed at that time, in the 90s, like, before cell phones, like, a lot of time, you know, the dope houses don't have a phone. You know what I mean? Some of them don't have power and shit. So I have to go to this neighborhood over up, like, by Citrus and Arrow Highway in Covina, like, on the border of Covina and Azusa. So, and I'm, you know, like, the cops are kind of always looking for me. And so I get dropped off there, you know what I mean? And I walk down in this neighborhood. It's like a neighborhood that's kind of hot anyway. It's not like every house, but there's always some drug house in this neighborhood. So I get down there, I get to the pad, and I mean, it was so fucking sad. And Tracy and her mom are renting a room at this house, right? It's a normal house, you know, from the outside, but you know, there's all the shit, like year-round yard sale shit in the front yard, you know what I mean? Like, so I go in the house, and it's Tracy, this heavy metal couple, and her mom, and we're in this room, and you know, I pull out the shit or whatever, and I'm snorting it. They all start smoking it, right? And they're passing the pipe, and I don't understand, like, why this happened, but at a certain, you know, we're in a bedroom, and at a certain point, a woman comes in the room, and we're all talking, you know, kind of like in a circle like this, and the woman came in, so I saw her silhouette is the best I can explain it. I did not see her face. Like, I think her hair was probably Annie's color, you know what I mean? But I have no idea what her face looked like, but she came in, and then Connie, Tracy's mom's like, hey, Keith, can I have some of that shit to pay my rent or whatever? I'm like, yeah. So I give her like a gram of speed or whatever to pay her rent to this lady.
Oh, I'm so glad you're bringing up meth moms. Continue. Yeah.
So she sends it out with her. You know, she gives it to this woman and whatever. So like 20 minutes goes by and I'm sitting there. You know, we're just fucking spun bullshitting and I'm catching up with Tracy. It's kind of fun. You know, everybody's passing the pipe around but me. And dude, all of a sudden, like I just hear like the craziest. It's nighttime. And I hear the craziest sound coming, you know, from somewhere outside the bedroom. It's just like, like, I'm like
cats fucking.
Dude, and I'm looking around, and these motherfuckers, it's like nobody hears it but me. They're just like spinning the pipe. Yeah, hey, are you going to go there? You know, like, and I'm like, fuck, am I hearing shit? You know what I mean? I'm tripping.
Yeah.
Because nobody is even, nothing. It's just me, but I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And it keeps, like this shit. And I look at Tracy, I'm like, yo, what the fuck is going on? And she's like, oh, I can't remember the woman's name, but she's like, oh, that's Sylvia or whatever fuck her name was. Oh, that's Sylvia. She has Tourette's. And I was like, yo, what? She's like, she has Tourette's and her boyfriend's probably popping the pimples on her, the blackheads on her back. And I'm like, dude. And I just go.
Oh, God.
I was like, you know, because I'm like, the only reason I knew what Tourette's was because Oprah had an episode on it. But you know what I mean? I'm just like, and I look at Tracy, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm giving speed to a woman that's got Tourette's. Like, is she going to die? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was fucking terrifying. And I'm stuck in this house. I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here. But, you know, it's 1:32 in the morning in a hot neighborhood. I got to get out of there. You know, I got to get out of there and make it to the, dude, everything about it was like the closest payphone was at like a coin wash. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
everything about it's got prison written all over it. You know what I mean? And I don't know. That was there's no great moral to that story.
You definitely go to some dark places, some dark paths, man. Like, you know, I would hang out and it's funny you brought up the meth moms. You know, like all the best connections are always the meth moms. You know what I mean? Like they're always because maybe they have like a maternal instinct or something, but it's like they hold it down, you know, like yep. Like you know, I've ran a few across a few, and I'm sure you know you guys can relate to that. Like you know, there was Rachel in North Hollywood, you know, and you'd always go to the spot, and she had a Chihuahua, right? And it was like you'd go into this little one bedroom apartment, and you'd go into her room, just hot boxed, you know what I mean? Just like smoke. Consistent smoke, you know what I mean, to the point where the Chihuahua was like, he was addicted to speed, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like straight up the Chihuahua was just like on one at all times too. And and she was like you know, in her 50s or something. She always had some 18 year old boyfriend or some shit from different neighborhoods, like neighborhoods that have beef and stuff. Yeah. And like she was pretty outlandish. And like, and then there's like, for me, like, if you introduce me to your mom and she happens to, like, do speed as well, then it's like, I just cut out the middleman. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, so it would be like, you know, I'd you know, just pop in and it just, you know, getting lurked out with, you know, one of my buddy's moms. And then he'd come home and be like, Joe, well, what are you doing in my mom's room, dude? You know what I mean? And I'd be...
fucking their mom?
No, not because I wasn't really the sex type. You know what I mean? Oh, but yeah, just, you know, really partying with... And it would be like... It's against tweaker etiquette, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, if you want a sack, just like call me on the phone. In my head, I'm like, no, I'm gonna just roll up and get smoked out by moms. You know what I mean? You know, like if that's an option, you know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, it's just something about the, you know, there's definitely like a correlation to the maternal aspect and just like, you know, keeping like the dope house running. There's always that meth mom, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that time you broke up a dog fight on my street?
Absolutely. How could I forget?
You were a hero that day.
That
rare meth hero.
That was one of the only nice things I've ever did, you know, on speed. You know what I mean? It was one of the more commendable acts for sure. Like,
that's
we're all
why I gave
out.
You an official framed. I made like, I crafted him a like certificate.
You fucking laminated it and everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? Straight up. We're crafting and you just say, outside.
Hanging
and I
on
go
the
out
ball,
there.
Yeah.
Two pit bulls getting down in the street, and I just fucking socked one of them in the head as hard as I could, which is fucked up, but it was like, it was a serious scuffle, you know? And then the one fucking bounced, and the lady was like, oh my God, thank you so much, you know? And he was like, wow, that was amazing. You're a hero, and you know? And then whatever, like 3 hours later or something, she presents this fucking like certificate, you know, and she's like, this is for you, man, you know. And I was like, what? It was fucking laminated with the, it was like,
I was all about bringing like joy and appreciation and inspiration to other people. I was trying to change the world one hit off the pookie at a time.
You really were, huh, Annie?
I still am. I'm still on that same shit, you know. And all I want to do is just like change and save everything. But I can't even change and save myself for the most part, you know? But I figure if I just do it to everything but me, I'll naturally follow suit, you know?
All right, guys, thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe the podcast wherever you listen to it. Follow us on It Is All Bad on Instagram. You will get to see some great content and some throwback Thursdays, flashback Friday photos of all of our guests and some good ones of us as well. Maybe some old guy photos of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just kiss and say goodbye.